I have a confession to make, man. I used to, when I knew it was spring break, it seemed like spring break's the worst time because like everybody's like, you know, vacates Bremen or you know, counting. The two kind of coincided this weekend. And I used to be like, man, everybody's going to be gone and all that, but not anymore. I am just as excited about this morning as if we had a full complement of people and everything was just robust and bouncing off the walls. Because one thing that I found, there's some scripture that I cannot get away from, and that's Matthew 13. And Jesus had just gotten through ministering to the multitudes. I mean, we're talking like 5 to 10,000 people. And after he dispersed them after an all day of teaching and ministering and all of that, and the disciples, as he separated himself and the crowds dispersed, and the disciples came, and it said those that had connected themselves to the disciples came. And they asked Jesus, they like, Master, why were you teaching in parables? You know, you got all these people and you're teaching in parables and all that stuff. He said it wasn't for them. He said it was for you. Wasn't for them. Jesus isn't stirred by the masses. Jesus is stirred by those that will press in, and not only press in. The Word gave me a Lord this morning, gave me a word this morning. It was to lean in. It was to lean in for me and for people in this house to lean in. Y'all know the difference in leaning in and just hosting? How many of y'all, you've ever hosted a dinner party or y'all been to a dinner party and you've got, as you come in, you have your meals, you always break into the little groups. You know, if we have a dinner party and or a shower or something at the house, we had a shower for Jacob and Stephanie a month or so ago before their new son was born, and had some people come over and we ate and all that. And what you'll always do in these is you'll kind of wind up breaking over into little groups and then just carrying on more intimate conversations. And at the end of one of these evenings, I greet everybody that's there and say, hey, how you doing, and all of that stuff. But I don't necessarily engage in intimate conversation with those people. Because for some reason that evening I connected with so-and-so, and me and so-and-so spent a lot of time together. Right? And so there's a difference in hosting and being around and leaning in. That particular night, I remember Jeremy and some of the guys, y'all were talking about their trip to California and some of that stuff. Well, I was talking to a totally different group of people and all of this stuff and everything. And, you know, I missed out on everything about the trip they were about to take to California because I was not leaning in on that conversation. But now they missed out on the conversations that I was engaged in. So what we have to learn to do if we want to make the jump to a place of intimacy and hearing the voice of the Lord and going new places, deeper places with the Lord, which I'm about to share a word on that, we've got to learn to not only to host it, but to lean in. That was the difference in the 12 disciples in Peter, James, and John. You got 9 disciples that were with Jesus for basically 3.5 years, 24/7. But you've got 3 that were in the inner circle that got invited up to the Mount of Transfiguration. You've got 3, John always calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved, and the one that put his, he's always talking about having his head on Jesus, you know, just leaned in so close. You will hear things in those intimate encounters that you typically don't hear. If you're engaged in the place of leaning in, you'll hear stuff that you won't hear even if you're in the same room. Because I can be in the same room, but if I fail to lean in. I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you. Get to the place to where you lean in to the Lord. And that was the word He gave me this morning. He said, lean in. So what I want the body to do is to lean in, lean in, lean in. So y'all turn in your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Kings chapter 4. I want to throw a couple words out there. We're just going to go and see how far we get before the Lord says stop. He gave me a word, and I know this is an odd time, and I'm sure I will release this again, but He gave me a word for Victory Fellowship about where much of our congregation is and how He wants us to make a quantum leap out of that place. one of the words, Lori and I were up in South Carolina Friday night at Hope Chapel for their revival services, and it was just phenomenal. The best way I can, or the way I described it, Lori kind of chuckled at me. I was like, I texted Damon, I was like, dude, that was stout. That's just the best way I could do it. It was just stout. It was heavy. It was strong. It was powerful. You know, it was engaged in, you know, wherever you, he gives bread to the eater and seed to the sower. It's how deep you want to go into this thing and how heavy do you want to get. You know, it was a four-hour service and we didn't even have altar call at the end. You know, it wasn't like we had a protracted altar call. But there was a lot of prophetic release at the end. And some of it was really just like, wow, the Lord specifically spoke three words to me. And I'm changing some things, Brad. I'm starting to journal that stuff. I wrote the date and where, and I wrote those words down. And I'm going to start doing that when God speaks a word to me. I'm going to start journaling it, write it down and all this. But one word that the Lord did not give to us, but He gave to a couple in the church is that it's in your heart to start a bed and breakfast. And He said, God's saying to go for it on the bed and breakfast. And He said, what He wants to do is you guys open this bed and breakfast, and it'll be a place where couples or families, they can come in, and they can, be a place where they can stay and rest and be refreshed while they're coming into the culture of what He's doing in Carolina Revival and Hope Chapel. And I'm like, well, man, that is just cool as all get out. And the Lord, the next day, began to develop some stuff in me on that word for them. And He went on into some details with them about a bed and breakfast and all of that stuff. But it's for a place where people can come in and get physical rest and physical and spiritual renewal and all of that. But the Lord spoke something to me, and I think it's got something to do with the three young men that just spent 3 weeks with us. We had, if you've kind of been on Mars and hadn't been around, or if you're visiting with us, about 3 weeks ago, we had three young men that popped in, and they were in Bremen for training, which I thought was an odd place to do training in Bremen. But they had been in Bremen for training for a month. And two of the guys were from Texas, and one of them was from Anamosa, Iowa. And God just sent them to the place. They came in and they said, man, we want to go to church. And so they Googled a non-denominational church in Bremen, Georgia. And so that's what we come up as. And so they showed up, and God just began to impact them in a very, very powerful way. And they had a tremendous 3 weeks here. And I feel like God challenged us, or God challenged me, to step up and engage these young men and pour into their lives. And there was a natural connection there. You know, I felt like I was faithful in that and passed that test, if you will, and enjoyed doing so. It was not a burden, but, you know, we went out to eat. And two of them came and helped us at CCC Thursday night and all of that stuff. One of them's wife drove from Texas and came out and visited them two weekends ago. And just got wrecked at church that Sunday. I mean, she just got wrecked. And several of you people really ministered to her. And I know Robin ministered to her and all of that stuff. And God really touched Brandon and his wife and all of that. So much to the point that they're looking at houses in the area. I mean, they're like, man, we're thinking about relocating and just moving there. And I said, I'm not going to tell you to move here, and I'm not going to tell you to not move here. Because the company's like, yeah, well, you can base out of there because it's a nationwide company and all of that. That's no problem if you want to relocate and base. But they were so affected by the presence of God. And I said, what you felt. Now, listen, I'm going somewhere with this. I told Brandon, I said, what you felt was it felt like home. It felt like home. That does not mean that you have to make a geographic move. But it was God showing you what home was supposed to feel like. And home is in the center of His presence, in the center of His will, in the center of His planning. And that what you felt is that this is what home is supposed to feel like. To where you come in and you feel relaxed, you feel peace, you feel love, you feel security, you feel safe, you feel all of these things. That's what home's supposed to feel like. And I said, that's what y'all felt. I feel that anytime I go to California and go to a Bethel event. It feels like home. It feels like family. That's what I felt Friday night when I went up to, Lori and I went up to Hope Chapel up in Batesburg, South Carolina. You know, middle of nowhere, nothing. but it felt like home. Does not mean that I feel prompted to move there, because it's like, oh, this is where I'm supposed to be. But it is a reminder from God that home is where my presence is. Home is where my people are planted and flourishing. And in that comes peace, hope, joy, safety, and all of those things. And it's a safe place, and it's a place that His presence is brooding there and flourishing there. And I said, that's what y'all felt. And God began to speak to me about a bed and breakfast. He said, what's a bed and breakfast? I said, well, it's a home away from home. Why don't you stay in a Holiday Inn Express? Because how many of y'all ever stayed in a bed and breakfast? Anybody? Nope, nobody. Come on, some of y'all have. Y'all know what a bed and breakfast is, right? You're going into a house that will host, they're small, that will host a limited group of people in a home setting. You'll go in and there'll be antique beds. Nothing is cookie cutter. Every room is decorated differently. In some of the historic homes, every room has a significant story that it tells. But when you come in and there is a host that owns the bed and breakfast or manages the bed and breakfast, and you come in and you know what they're doing? They're opening their life up to you, and they're cooking for you, and they're engaging you, and they're sitting down. James and Kami, they went out to Waco, Texas, out to see the Magnolia Farms and all of that stuff. They stayed in a bed and breakfast. They said it was so cool. This old guy that had been baseball coach at Baylor University for like 40 years or something like that, you know what he did is his job now was he would go to the bed and breakfast and engage with the guest every day and arrange stuff and tell them about the area and the history of the area and all that stuff. And what they were doing was they were opening up their world to them and said, this is our world. This is our world. And what God wants, God began to speak to me about this house. There's a transition in the house, and what you did with these three young men in the past 3 weeks is they came into a bed and breakfast here. They came in and we opened up our world to them. We opened up, this is who we are, and this is what this is, and this is who God is, and this is what God's doing in our lives. And we began to release that. And God said, that is how I want to change your church to where it is into. It becomes a bed and breakfast for people that I will send into this place. And it's not just about the home crowd anymore. We need to way get past our narcissistic nature that we come in every week and it's about me. And I had a terrible week this week and the devil kicked my teeth in. And I just need to come in and feel God's presence. Well, if you own a bed and breakfast or you're a host of a bed and breakfast, you know what you do every day? You get up and you go to work and you cook eggs and ham in the morning and you host people and you engage and you open up your life to them. And God said, this place is going to be a place that's a spiritual bed and breakfast to where I bring people in, and it may be your friends that are totally locked into another church, but they just need to come in here and visit and get refreshed. I'm not moving to Hope Chapel. Unless I get a very, 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 very strong, me and Lord, if you get a very strong word, I'm not moving there. But every time I go in, you know what I do? I get a refreshing that blows through me. I get something gets activated in me. Something stirs in me. Faith rises in me. And God said, that's what I want this place to be. That's what I want this house to be. That people come in and they immediately feel that. You know, you say, well, we're not big. We don't have to be big. Impacting four people was huge. Was huge. Did you not look to your right Wednesday night and be like, wow, where did all these guys come from? And some of them were engaged and some of them weren't engaged. I had two of them waiting for me after the service talking about what God's been doing in their life since they've been coming to Victory. And we got them for 10 months. Bed and breakfast, usually you got them for 2 nights. And they come in and I want to open up the kingdom of heaven to them and say, this is what it feels like. This is what it looks like. Usually if you go to a bed and breakfast, you tend to lean more to the home cooking side of meals. You don't go out and order out and say, hey man, we're bringing in cheeseburgers and we're going to call in something from so and so and all of this stuff. You don't do that. They come in and they get something that is of that region, and that's the flair. You want something that feels like home, whether it's home in Waco, Texas, or in Zurich, Switzerland. When you go and you sit and you stay at one, you're going to get a similar of this is our culture. I'm not going to go over there and sit down and say, man, we're having cheeseburgers today for lunch. You're going to come in and you're going to get a taste of that. And I really feel strongly, and I know this is weird releasing this because half our body's not here. You'll probably hear it again. But this is what God wants this place to become, is a spiritual bread and bed and breakfast where people come in for rest, for healing, for renewal, for restoration, for a reactivation, for Genesis moments of hope. And that's what God wants this house to be, okay? It's more than us just coming in and getting our praise on. I love worship as much as anybody in this place. But it's more than me just coming in and getting my praise on. More than just coming in and saying, man, I hope Sid's got a good word for me today. It's about how do we come in and host the presence in such a way that everybody that comes through these doors gets refreshed. That they leave this place and they're like, man, come back refreshed. Come back renewed. Come back invigorated. Perhaps come back changed to a point of salvation. You know? And you had just in this picture, and I know these guys, I spent a lot of time with these guys. I know they wouldn't mind. You had the opposite end of the spectrum where you had Andrew from I that had was new in his faith and had not a lot of church background. And then you've got Brandon from Texas that got whacked out and prophesied over by Benny Hinn when he was 8 years old in a profound way. So to me, that's just a step. You're going to have all types come in here. You're going to have religious come in, and they're going to resist it, and they're going to leave. And you know what God's going to say? Wasn't for them. And then you're going to have somebody that comes in and definitely looks like the opposite of the religious. They look like they just got out of jail, and they may have just got out of jail. And they're going to come in and they're going to have radical encounter with the love of God. They're not going to get it, but they're going to feel it. And when they feel it and embrace it, you know what's going to happen? Then they're going to start getting it. So I just want to encourage the house and say this is what God's wanting to declare over us. This is a banner He's wanting to wave over us, guys. So I just want to declare this, all right, to everybody. Everybody getting it? Everybody, y'all hear what I'm saying? All right. Let's turn to 2 Kings 4. I'm going to release one other thing, and that may be it today. We'll go to 2 Kings 4. I'm going to, we've been reading about the Shunammite woman and Elisha. We talked about the jump, and I'll say a quantum leap, of going from, we preached in the past on a visitation versus a habitation, and the superiority of a habitation over a visitation. But there's a difference in that, and I'm not going to backtrack, read some of the, or listen to some of the podcast in the house. I want to encourage you to listen to those and promote those to people. There's good word that comes out of here, and it's not, you know, it might be Sister Lori, you know, releasing something, or Jeremy or Nick or Brett or whoever that's releasing a word. I want to encourage y'all on that. Brother Damon said they can track this stuff. They said last month they had over 300,000 downloads on their podcast just last month. And they're a little old church of 150 people in the woods in South Carolina. Over 300,000 downloads. That's a lot, Brett. You've got some like me that accounted for 25 of those. But that's a lot. So I want to encourage you to promote what God's doing. We're not necessarily promoting this. You know what I did with these guys before they left Wednesday night? I sit down and I wrote them out a care package. I said, this is the worship you need to be listening to. If you want to nurture and grow your spiritual life, I said, you need to listen to, I listed four things. I said, Elevation, Jesus Culture, Bethel, and Hillsong. I said, you listen to these four, you can't go wrong. I come, I said, here's some books you need to read. Mark Batterson, and I listed a few. Circle Maker, In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day. I said, anything Bill Johnson writes. And I said, and you tap into Bethel and the words that come out of that through their podcast, and Hope Chapel, the words that come out of their podcast, and the stuff that comes out of this house. And I sent them with that care package. And I said, man, you go with this. And I've got phone numbers for Bruce on hooking up with the guy in Fort Worth and all of that stuff. And I said, he's going to be contacting you. You contact him. All right? We've got to be more intentional with people, guys. We've got to care about people enough to the point that, you know what? I want to see you make this. I want to see you make this. I want to see you experience this. The story in this is a Shunammite woman that comes in and she hosts the prophet of God, Elisha. And he was God's representative on the planet at that time. You know, he was the prophet to the nation of Israel. And he was coming through on a circuit, and she started having him over for meals. And she said, come in, and man, here's my table. I'm going to cook for you. I'm going to host you. And he started doing that. And she told her husband, she said, I perceive that this is a great man of God, a holy man. And she said, let's build a room for him so that when he comes, he doesn't just eat and leave, but he can stay. And the King James is a little bit weak in the interpretation on this. It kind of gives you the impression they just put a bed over in the corner and put a curtain around it and a lampstand, said he could stay over there. Kind of like we'll pull out the fold-out couch and put the sheets on it. Y'all ever done that when somebody just has a random spend the night? You know, Bob's coming through town. Don't get a hotel room, man. We got a fold-out couch here. We'll do this and all of that. They built him a room on the roof. A preferred place, an elevated place. It was a place in the Middle Eastern culture. The men would often sleep upstairs because that's where the breezes were. And so they built him this specific place. And I talked about the superiority of just not just making and preparing a place, but actually building a place where we can host God encounters. And the importance and significance of us doing that. And so we talked about that for a couple weeks. And then God was speaking some things to me Friday night at Hope Chapel on the Shunammite woman. But this morning He spoke something to me that I want to release in the house that I think is equally important. So let's start with the background in chapter 4, 2 Kings, verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunam, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken of, or to the king, or to the captain of the host? She answered, I dwell among mine own people. My translation is, she said, man, I'm okay. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. I look and I see this story, and we have picked it apart, and we will continue to do so, and just so many tremendous words that can be spoken to us from this text. But this morning, the Lord showed me something that, I'll be honest with you, in 30 years of ministry, I've absolutely never seen before. And He said, I want you to share this and release this with the body, because it's a type of much of the church, and I believe it's a type of much of Victory Fellowship. Okay? I'll throw this on us. There are, in this story, there are three characters in this portion that I just read. You got Elisha, the prophet. You've got the Shunammite woman. And you've got her husband. How many of you have ever heard this story referred to as the story of the Shunammite man? Never. How many of you in New Testament writings have ever heard him referred to? There is none. Past the first point in this, where it said that she said unto her husband, do you see his name mentioned ever again? Obviously he was involved. She got pregnant. He was there every time that Elisha would come to eat. He was present in the home when Elisha would come in and sleep and stay there. If you will, he was the owner of the bed and breakfast. Right? But yet we see him basically vacated from the story. We see him nowhere in this story. We see him not engaged in this story. We see nothing of the beauty of the story released into his life. We see zero interaction between he and Elisha and he and God. Either now or later on, after his son dies, all we see is he sends the child in and says, take him to his mother. And then he comes in when she's going after Elisha, and he said, whoa, how? She said, it's good. You don't see him involved in the picture at all. God said, this is a type of much of the church. Because I see someone, I'll tell you what, read what I wrote down here. The Shunammite husband is a type of much of the church. He is permissive, listen to this, he is permissive of the presence of heaven, but never engaging. He is permissive of the presence of heaven, but he's never engaging. He's there every time he eats. He's there every time he spends the night. He's okay with it. His wife said, build a room. Got my boat, let's build a room. Let's do this, let's do this, let's do this. Sounds good to me. But I never see him engaging. When we see heaven responding / releasing into this house, it is totally directed to the wife. Right? Why? Just being permissive is not only an inferior place, but is actually an indictment upon us because we fail to lean into what is in front of us. I believe that much of this house, Victory Fellowship Church, it's the Shunammite husband. We're permissive to the presence, but never engaging. We're good with a weird person dancing down front, but never engaging. We're good with a praise and worship music, but that's really not my style. If you are more drawn to Jason Aldean, then we need some reality checks in our life. Come on. I love what I see God doing in that industry. There was a prophetic word released. I'm going to run a side rabbit right quick, but it will excite you, I think. There was a prophetic word released Friday night about the kingdom stuff being a lot of the Nashville artists are going to return to some of their roots, their Christian roots, and he specifically listed some, and called some out. And we were praying in the Spirit for an hour, man, while we were sitting here and agreeing with heaven and agreeing with these words and all that stuff. And they would turn and they would begin to incorporate some of this in what they are not only recording, but what they're releasing in concerts. Lori said, I didn't realize this until I researched it. She was typing in some Hillsong stuff the other day, and guess who came up? Selena Gomez. I really don't know much about Selena Gomez. I know she's a pop star, cute little Hispanic girl. That's all I know about her. Selena Gomez come up. Lori said, I thought that was odd. She started researching and doing some digging on all of this stuff. Selena Gomez will come in at her concerts and she'll say, I always do. And Lori's, you can go watch the YouTube of it. And she said, I always do one cover song at the concerts. And she said, so tonight, here's what I'm doing. You know what she sang? Oceans by Hillsong. In front of a stadium full of people. And she started releasing the gospel and releasing the kingdom. Because it's returning to something in here that's home for her, and it's home for some of these people. It's home for Carrie Underwood. You're going to start seeing a release of that because they said it is no longer good enough or acceptable enough. They might even know what, but the Holy Spirit is stirred, and He said, I am not going to allow my bride to keep being the Shunammite husband because I'm longing for a connection with a Shunammite bride. You watch and see if you don't. How many of y'all watch The Voice? Some. How many times have y'all seen people get up there and talk about their faith and just rock it out with a powerful? I remember a couple seasons ago, one guy got up there. I thought revival was going to break loose. I'm like, my gosh. He won that year. I think the thing that won it for him was that when he got up there that night and released that sound. Release that sound. And it was the sound of heaven. And you know what is happening, folks? There's happening where there's a stirring in the house and a stirring in God's people. And He said, it's no longer good enough to be permissive, but I want you to begin to engage. I want you to begin to engage. It's not good enough just to come in and be the permissive husband and say, well, my wife, she's got that going on with the Lord, and I'm not going to stand her. I'm not going to be that guy. I'm saved and all that stuff. And God says, quit being the Shunammite husband. Start being the Shunammite wife. And we can be permissive to all of these things and never engaging. And you know what will happen? You'll probably go to heaven. If you've asked Jesus to come into your heart and to save you and have repented of your sins and received the blood atonement and all that, your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life and you'll go to heaven, but you will not leave a mark on anything. And I don't want to be a church where we just come in and we feel good about us coming in and having our little spiritual whatever every week. And as good as the singing in is and as good as the preaching is, it's not enough. We're built for more than that. We're called for more than that. You're built for more than that. You're called for more than that. God's going to start requiring stuff instead of you sitting down here and being permissive to Robin House and Beth House and Carolyn and people worshiping the Lord and all that. Saying, well, that's nice. That's them. That's not. I'm not saying you've got to do that, but you've got to engage God more than you're engaging God. And it's not just here. Me and Jeffrey were talking about this yesterday afternoon, man. I was up there Friday night, and an hour before church, the whole altar area was just full of people already engaging the Lord and worship beginning to come forth before anything started whatsoever. And then we had an hour of worship before we went into to 3 hours of word and prophetic and all of that stuff. And even in the midst of that glorious wait, there's still people that were the Shunammite husband sitting just tolerant. Saying nothing negative, man. It's good. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. But when it comes time for encounter, you know who gets encounter? The wife. One thing you'll find in this, Jacob, is the prophet does not come to Gehazi and say, what can I do for this man? Heaven says, what can I do for this woman? What does she need? How can I bless her? How can I release into her? Because she did more than just be tolerant and permissive of the presence. She initiated things. She hosted things well. She didn't say, yeah, well, that's okay. We'll do that. How many of you burn to see the kingdom move? How many of you burn to see the kingdom move in this place, in your life? Or is it just like, I'm saved. I dropped my addiction last week. I quit looking at porn. Is that it? He said, brother, that was huge in my life. How are you impacting the world? Huh? How are you impacting the world? How is your story being written? I come in, we can begin to talk about people and say, oh, the Syrophoenician woman, the Shunammite woman, the woman with the issue of blood. And we talk about all of these people. I find it interesting it's a higher percentage of women than it is men. Thank God there's some Jairuses out there. But I believe a lot of us as men, we get in trouble because we have our agenda. So, you know, we say, because I've got my agenda and I've got to do this and accomplish this and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We become the permissive husband that says, all right, you run with it, baby. Too many people, the wives are the spiritual leaders in the home. Too many people, the wives are outpacing the husbands. I hear way more single girls saying, I am just looking for a godly man, than I hear single guys saying, I am looking for a godly woman. Most of them want, man, I want a cool chick that's hot. Right? But there is something different about somebody that comes in and says, I want to be the one that engages God and that engages heaven. Instead of saying, I just want to permissively say, it's cool, man, God, you blow up in my church, you do whatever you want to do, just don't get in my stuff. You're cool when God wrecks somebody else's world. Just don't mess with mine. Cool when God gives you, or just don't mess with this. Don't get up in my stuff. Don't get up in this and this and this and this. And the Shunammite woman comes in and she says, I'm going to engage God on a different level. I think the word this morning for you guys is coming in and engaging God on a different level. That's where the Lord's challenging me right now, is engaging Him on a different level. And I've been engaging Him on a pretty good level lately, TW, but He's really calling me to engage Him on a higher level. And when I start doing that, then heaven's going to respond to that. The reason we are powerless and impotent and all of that stuff is because we tend to be more like the Shunammite man instead of the Shunammite woman. And when we become the Shunammite woman, you know what heaven does? Then heaven comes in and says, what can I do for her? That was heaven's response. What can I do for her? What can I do for him? You say, my prayers go unanswered. Might be because you're the Shunammite man. I said something Wednesday night that I thought was pretty profound on Food for Thought. When Elisha came in and he says, he didn't seek God and say, God, what can I do for this woman? He came in and they said, she doesn't have a child. So you know what he declared? She's going to get pregnant. Did Elisha respond to heaven or did heaven respond to Elisha? I lean toward more heaven responded to Elisha. He saw something, he declared it, and heaven said yes. You know why? Because he's the Shunammite woman. In that right. So what level will you engage heaven, Brett? That's the question for us. I want to reread this one thing, and I don't even think I'm going to get into the whole... I'll just prompt you with the dreaming thing, and I'll hit that Wednesday night. Just being permissive is not only an inferior place, but is actually an indictment upon us. Because we failed to lean into what was in front of us. You know who I can speak stronger against? The Shunammite man instead of his neighbor that I know absolutely nothing about. The indictment isn't necessarily on the guy three blocks away, the indictment's on him. Listen to me, and this is why I'll say this. Because we could come in and we could say, well, wait a minute, Sid. He fed the Elisha. He allowed them to build a room and probably funded them building a room for Elisha. So why are you coming down on him? He allowed it. He was permissive of it happening. These other people were just out there totally indifferent. Because to whom much is given, much is required. To whom much is given, much is required. And if you come in and you've experienced the presence of God and you're around the presence of God, God will hold you to a higher standard because of where you sit every week than He will at some little old dead church where the Spirit of God's not moving. He holds you to a higher standard. God holds you a higher standard than He does somebody that is raised up in a very, very structured... You have no church background whatsoever, but God holds you to a higher standard than He does somebody that is locked in and grew up their entire life, say as a devout Catholic, that is not embracing the current move of the Holy Spirit and what Jesus Christ is doing. Even though they have got years and years and years of training and background on you, God holds you to a higher standard. Because Elisha stayed in your house. Elisha sat at your table. Elisha is coming in and say, I'll choose this place because somebody invited me here. All of a sudden, you're held to a higher standard. I was about to make a real, 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 real bold statement, but I don't know if it's... I was about to say, as God's presence intensifies in this place and in other places that we're connected to, and if you're not willing to get on board on that, you'd probably be better off to leave before you get exposed to too much. Because the more you get exposed to, the higher the responsibility is on you. You'd been better off to never have heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit than you would be to have heard about it and reject it. You've been better off to never been exposed to good, deep praise and worship than to be exposed to it and simply going to be tolerant to it. Be better off if you've never heard it. Been better off if you've never heard it, never seen it, never been exposed to it, than to be exposed to it and I'm not even saying reject it. I'm simply saying being tolerant of it. Because God's going to put you to a higher standard, a higher calling. But the upside to that's amazing. Because heaven comes in and says, What can we do for her? Because she said yes to this. What can we do for her? I tell you what I'm going to teach on Wednesday night, and I'll throw a teaser out there right now. Because God really stirred that Friday night in me and a lot of people and all that stuff, is His dreams for us. The prophet came to her and he said, what can I do for you? He said, can I come to the king and ask the king something for you? Can I go to the military leader? Do you need military protection? Do you need whatever? Do you need whatever you need from my level of earthly influence? I can do that for you because he had an ear with the king and he had an ear with the army and he had an ear with these things. Elisha did. He said, "Man, you need me to put in a word? I'll get the king to do. You know, what do you need? You know what she said? I'm good. I'm good." How many of y'all made that statement before? God, I'm good. I don't need nothing else. Chris, you're shaking your head. You made that statement before. I've made that statement before. God, I don't need nothing. Y'all ever heard the poor pitiful songs we used to sing as kids? All I need is, basically they said, just give me a little cabin on the backside of 440 of heaven. You know, that's all I want. That's all I need. Jesus' blood bought more than that for me, guys. His Holy Spirit in me requires more than that, Amanda. And she come in. That's the one indictment that I can throw at her. And this ain't picking on the Shunammite people Sunday. She was awesome. But even in her elevated place of being awesome, she still lowballed it. God came in and said, what do you want? What do you need? Through Elisha. And you know what she said? I'm good. So God said, I'll give you a child. I'm going to give you a son. Here's the thing on this, guys, is God's dreams were bigger for her than her dreams were. His dreams were bigger for her than hers were. Because she said, I'm all right, I'm saved, I'm baptized. How many of y'all have had that mindset before? I'm saved, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm not in this gross sin, my life's okay. That's something for you guys to be careful. Don't fall into that, man. Because you'll come in and you'll say, man, I've got saved. I'm in love. I'm getting married. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm happy, and it's okay to be happy where you are, but there's more. Don't just come in and say, this is good. It's all's okay. Because God says, well, what can I do? Because when you get His attention, all of a sudden He starts saying, what's the blank check? And if you say, no, really, I'm all right. I'm all right. I want more than what we're experiencing now. I don't mind being small. That does not bother me at all. 10 years from now, if we're 200 people on a Sunday morning, I'm okay as long as you've got Brandon and Andrew coming through here on a regular basis. A bed and breakfast doesn't have to be huge to be powerful. But it can be so powerful that everybody that comes through feels home. And they leave saying, this is what home's supposed to feel like. And I want everybody that walks through those doors, whether it's a revolving door, Blake House guys every 10 months, or visitors that come in that you bring, or people, God will send some people plant. And there'll be some people that'll leave because, you know what, it'll get so to a heightened place, they'll say, man, I just want to be the Shunammite husband. Have a good life. Have a good life. I'll see you in heaven. I'm cool with that. I'll see you in heaven. But God's going to raise up a group of people. God's going to raise up a group of people that say, I want my story to impact something. Okay? I want my story to impact something. I want it to be significant. I want when God comes and says, what can I do for you? I've got an answer. God, I'd really like to see a cure for cancer. I would really like to see the music industry in Nashville begin to shift. Instead of everybody singing, this is how we roll, somebody starts singing about something that's got more substance to it. I would really love to see the movie industry in L.A. transformed. God comes in and says, what do you want? What do you need? Atlanta's the number two movie market in the United States right now. Number two behind L.A. They recently jumped New York. Number two, 40 miles away. Whew. I'd love for God to raise up a pile of young Micah Thompsons and Robins. I've got a cousin that loves the Lord. He's going to SCAD right now. And he's from Michigan. And he's wanting to get in the movie industry. Why can't God raise up a generation? What are our dreams? See, the problem with the Shunammite woman, she had given up on her dream because it ain't happened yet. You know when it did happen? When she started hosting presents in such a way that she built a place for it. That's when it happened. That's what it's going to kickstart for you. You say, man, I'm just waiting for it to happen. A lot of you have been in the mindset, I'm just waiting for it to happen. I'm waiting on God for it to happen. Well, build a room. Build a place, Randy. And God will so engage you, it'll be amazing. But until you build a place, you know what's going to happen? You're going to keep waiting. And you can be permissive. You can see it happening in other people's lives and say, that's cool. Yay, God. But when you want to see it happen in your life, that's how it starts. That's how it starts. So what about it, guys? I tell you what heaven desires. But what about you? What about you? If you are content being the Shunammite husband, I'm probably not going to be a good pastor for you. But if you desire to be the Shunammite woman, I'll be a great pastor for you. If you're content being a Shunammite man, Don't get plugged into Bethel stuff. Don't listen to Damon Thompson. Don't go to Saluda, South Carolina, Batesburg, South Carolina, and go to revival service. If you just want to, Micah, if you wanted to be a Shunammite man, you should have never went. Don't go. Don't engage in what's happening here. Don't do it, Brett. Just say, hey, man, I just want to go to heaven. I just don't want my girls to get pregnant, my boy to stay off drugs. But if you want more, there is more. I promise you. I promise you. That's the journey I'm on. That's the journey I'm chasing after. Because I've tasted and I've seen and I want more. I refuse to be the man, and I want to be the bride. Because her story is the story that gets written. Her story is the story that gets written. Her story is the one that heaven recognizes. So let's stand to our feet. I don't think we're going to do an altar call today. Where we play some music and hope somebody responds. And you know, in your heart right now, you're responding yes or no. It doesn't matter what Tyler picks on the guitar or what Linda plays on the piano. You're responding right now. And God carried me that scripture in Matthew 13 a few months ago. There's something about that story that so got up in me, T.W., and I cannot escape it. Where the Lord said, man, that wasn't for them, it was for you. And I said, God, don't ever let me be one of those to where He says, that outpouring wasn't for him because he was a Shunammite husband. God, that I would spend the rest of my life being the one that connected to the 12, being the one that stayed longer, being one that not only engaged heaven but leaned in. I want to hear the whispers of the throne room. Do y'all remember the declaration that Gabriel made to Zacharias, the high priest, when he told him that Elizabeth was going to get pregnant and they were going to have a son named John the Baptist? Y'all remember the declaration from that? You remember what they said to you? Zachariah came in and he said, how can this be? I'm old and she's old and we're past childbearing and that dream died a long time ago and all of that stuff. You know what declaration that Gabriel made? Gabriel said, I am Gabriel and I stand in the presence of Almighty God. My place is in proximity to the throne. Don't question anything I say because I stand so close, I hear clearly what comes from the throne. I want you to purpose in your heart that these declarations that you make and this life that you live, it is a direct result of your proximity to the King. You say, man, I know I heard the voice of the Lord because of where I stand. You heard thunder. Some thought it was natural at the baptism of Jesus. Some thought it was natural. Some thought it was angelic activity, but there were those that heard, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. That's the ones I'm talking to today, the ones that don't want to just hear thunder. The ones that don't just want to say, man, that's some cool supernatural activity going on. But the ones that say, man, I heard what he whispered. I smelled his fragrance. I know what kind of cologne he had on today because I was so close. And I recognized that scent. And it could be no other than Yahweh. Because I've smelled that before in his presence. That's where he wants you to live. And we'll make that decision right now, and we'll make that decision this afternoon, and we'll make that decision when we walk outside and we see his glory. T.W. of the, and I don't know if you're one of these guys, sometimes I get in touch with the, I'll say artistic side, not the feminine side. Have the sunsets been prettier to you in recent months or years than they used to be? Does the air feel different or look different, or the freshness? Doyle's back there shaking his head and saying, absolutely. I'll skip you and I'll go here. Do you think that the sunsets are any prettier in 2017 than they were in 2002? They weren't. You're just seeing them different. The sunset in 2017 is no more magnificent than it was in 1957. But you're seeing it different. Because you're seeing it through God lens. You're seeing it through the lens of the artist that's painting that picture. Yesterday, when we were outside yesterday and we were standing in my backyard talking, Jeffrey, and we were under that cherry tree and the blossoms are so vibrant and that warm breeze and the bright sun on the grass and all of that stuff, I felt so alive when you and I were standing there and talking. I felt so alive. There have been beautiful days like that for 10,000 years. But I saw it different. I felt it different. That's where God wants you to live. In that heightened awareness. So make the choice. Say, I'm not satisfied being a Shunammite husband. I'm going for it all. I'm going for it all. Amen. All right. Those of you that do will be blessed. Those of you that don't, you might make it to heaven. I hope you do. We'll spend eternity together. But thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want his glory now. His glory now. Amen. I hope you guys have a tremendous week this week. We have a new addition here today for the first time. So congratulations with Jacob and Stephanie. Pretty baby boy. Everything's going fantastic, I hear. So, amen. That is awesome. So we just continue to declare life over y'all's family and abundance over y'all's family and just blessings. And we can't wait to see what God does in that young man as he grows up in the presence and the atmosphere and the ways of the Lord. I pray that he doesn't know the heartache and the pain and the scars and all of that stuff. That his testimony is not that, man, God delivered me out of this, all of this junk. But his testimony is higher. He says, I've never known anything but the presence of God. I've never known anything but a home of love and peace and yes. And he doesn't come out of it like so many people do and say, man, I come from a broken home and divorce on this side and divorce on this side and failure on this side and dysfunction on this side. I was listening to Lisa Bevere preach yesterday and she was just talking about all the things that she had to overcome and come out of. And I pray that that's never our children's testimony. But all I know is what home feels like, because that's all I've ever experienced is what home feels like. Amen. Y'all be blessed this week. We'll see you guys Wednesday night.